wish everyone a happy new year. And look forward to this year. My prayer is that this year will be better than the last year, and that we'll have a wonderful year this year, especially a wonderful year in the Lord. Amen. Let's just go to him in prayer now before we go to the scripture. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne this morning, dear God, and asking for you, Lord, to come and to speak to us, to open the word, Lord, to us, that it would be, Lord, an imparting that would bring encouragement and would bring uplifting, dear God, and strength and understanding. We pray that you would receive all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. We want to felt to continue on with speaking on the purpose of angels. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." You may be seated. And the angel and the three poles, Brother Branham says, now angels has always been ministering spirits that's sent to the church. Is that right? All through the apostolic age, they had ministering angels that went with the apostles, the disciples. Is that right? And most always, they appeared to them in a form of light. And obey the voice of the angel. He says, angelic beings is ordained ministers of God to come to the earth to bear record of God. And they work through mortal beings just as they did through Daniel and back through the ages there. And believe it, and I believe it with all my heart. Now look with me, if you would, into Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, he said they're ministering spirits. They can give direction to sons of God, but they can't speak what sons of God can speak. They can inspire, they can uplift, they can give direction, but they can't preach what has been committed to the body. I don't want you to misunderstand me on this, but I have the ability, just like any other son of God, to impart life to someone. You have that ability because you're part of the body. An angel can go with me, an angel can guide me, but an angel does not have that to produce the life within somebody. Spoken words, original seed, Brother Bram says, notice the eunuch. Oh, we're going to get into something deep now. Now watch this seed church, this real church with the real true sperm. Notice the eunuch had been with the DDs. Now remember, God never committed his preaching of his gospel to an angel. How many knows that? God came on down below angels and committed it to men, which were sons. You believe that? Now watch. He never committed it to angels. He did not do it. So it's not committed to angels to preach the gospel or to impart life. Angels are, they're not part of the body like you and I are. The angel directed Philip, but the germ of life had to come through the body. Brother Branham preached a message called The Path of Life. And you've heard other ministers that have come here that have ministered to us. I remember one brother from Africa that preached to us a message on the path of life. And the path of life has to come through a member of the body. That's where the path of life comes through. And the angels are part of the kingdom, but they're not part of the kingdom like you and I are. They've never had no experience with God. They do not know God by a new birth. They have never received the Holy Ghost and never been baptized with water. Let me put it this way. They're part of the kingdom, but not by birth. You and I are birthed into the kingdom. And they don't have that germ of life. Spoken Word's original seed, Brother Branham speaking about this, says Philip had been up to Pentecost, Jerusalem, to worship. The eunuch had been with all the DDs and LDs and everything, but why didn't he get something? He come back down studying the prophecy of Isaiah. Although an angel directed Philip to him, but the germ of life had to come through the body. Philip, oh brother, now we're on the line. Where did the germ come from? Through the angel? The angel showed him where to go. An angel is a messenger. Here's a son. Philip had the germ, the message, the word. That's something that God would call us as mortals. Knowing that even after we're born again, we're going to make countless mistakes. And yet, he would put it on man to pass the germ of life on mankind instead of angelic beings. An angel's, they're not going to make mistakes like you and I. But neither do they know God the way you know God. By a new birth, by a life-changing event. No doubt if he'd have given it to angels, they'd have been more faithful than you and I. Maybe they wouldn't have bellyached and grumbled and complained so much. They would have just, the angels would have been, yes, Father, I'll do it. Boy, that just kind of brings it down where we want to say, boy, shame on us. Amen. That God would say, now, you angels, host of heaven, I cannot commit to you this germ of life. That goes to my wife, my bride, and you are not part of her. Imagine. Brother Bram says another place about angels being secretaries. Imagine them thinking about how they can bring a message to us and then us take the word and impart life, eternal life to someone. I'll explain how that happens or how that works. Angels of God, when you look at angels of God or sons and daughters of God, who do you think would be more in awe of each other? We think about us being in awe of the angels. And we are. But they are in awe of us. They would say, it's given to you to carry the word of life. They go back and forth to heaven. They do great things, but they don't have the ability to birth a son or daughter of God. An angel would say, inside you is the ability to reproduce Jesus Christ. How does it feel as mortals to be able to reproduce Jesus Christ. Spoken word, original seed again, Brother Branham says, Philip had the germ, the message, the word. That's how a child can be born. Philip laid his hands upon him. Philip baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. There came forth the Spirit of God, sure. Now the germ had to come from the body. What body? Christ's body, correct. And Philip was a member of that body. So the Spirit of God taking a member of the body and breaking open the word, and there that eunuch is born of the Spirit. And where did it come from? Through the body. Now, an angel of God can direct me to go somewhere and preach. You can direct Brother Phil to go somewhere and preach. Direct any other minister somewhere to go to preach, whether it be to another country, say, for instance, or something of that nature. But, and that angel can go with that man. But it takes that man to go and speak the word. The angel couldn't go by himself. And I'm thankful God don't send us by ourselves. Just like with Eliezer, Brother Ram said that angel got there about 30 minutes before Eliezer just to prepare Rebecca for what was going to happen. That's, God still does it that way today. Now, in Acts chapter 10, and you don't necessarily have to turn there, but if you want to mark this down where it's at, and of course you're all familiar with it, what I'm going to go into here is, it's concerning Peter and Cornelius. Now, there was an angel of God that came and appeared to Cornelius and told Cornelius to go and inquire of one whose surname was Simon, Peter, and to have him come and follow him back to his house. While that angel was appearing to him, there was one that appeared to Peter and began to prepare Peter before he ever even met those men, Cornelius and his men. Because if the angel hadn't prepared Peter, Peter would not have received them. Peter would not have went with them. But the Spirit of God spoke to Peter and by vision prepared Peter to be able to go to these men without having reservation, without having a prejudice against these men, because they were not Jews. They were Gentiles. Notice, I preached here one time, Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter, and Peter unlocked the door to the Gentiles. But again, though there was angels working there to bring this event to pass, the angels couldn't go and do what Peter could do, because Peter was part of the body. They went, they inspired and directed Cornelius, inspired and directed Peter. They brought the meeting of the two together, but it took Peter to impart the words of life to them. If the angel of the Lord could have took the word and did it, then there would be no need of being born again. But it takes somebody who's born again, who that life is alive within them, in order to impart that life to someone else. Like I said, I will in a little bit explain how that works. But You can see why that some preachers can preach and preach and preach and preach and never bring anyone to a new birth. Amen. It's because they don't have it themselves. Amen. How can they lead you to somewhere they've never been themselves? They don't have the germ of life themselves, and a man is not born again cannot produce genuine new births. Amen. I know Brother Bram said false teachers produce false births, and that's exactly right. A false birth, not a real, genuine, true birth of life of God. Now, if I said about an angel, let me say it this way. If Peter could have done it without being born again, then an angel could do it. So Peter had to be born again himself in order to go and allow himself to be that path of life. I like saying it that way. Now, I just want to read something here so that there's no confusion on this. Brother Branham speaks about a seed of life, a germ of life, and he interchangeably uses, actually, many times, a seed of God. And so, in the message of God who's rich in mercy, he says, many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. When you was a little boy or a little girl, you walked around and there was certain things that would just, where it wouldn't bother the other kids, it seemed like there was something in you that cried out. There was a God somewhere, yet you were a sinner. You remember that? Certainly. Now, what was that? That was that little form of life in you then. And then after a while, you heard the gospel. Maybe you went to church, you picked out this or that, went from denomination to denomination. But one day, you being part of God, you had to be part of the word. And when you heard the word, you knew where you come from. And you know what was truth. You were always, the seed was in you always. The word seen the word that was in you, and that was before the foundation of the world, saw the word, and you come to it. Now, what is it? It's the word that's alive in the body that quickens that seed to life that's in that individual. That's how it happens. That's how it works. That's why I say they have to, that germ of life, they have to have it. The seed in me had to be quickened and brought to life before I could be allow myself to be a path of life for God. Same thing with you. This isn't just you think it's only preachers. No, that's wrong. It's the body. It's to the body. Now, an angel appears to Cornelius, speaks to him, moves in the supernatural, but the angel couldn't produce a new birth. So he sends a man who'd had a bad record at one time, known to be hard-headed, high-tempered, cursed, doubted, denied, and backslid even. And yet that's who God's told that angel, you go down to him and tell him to go. But see what it is, it don't matter what that reputation was. Because why? There's been a life-changing event that has taken place. It doesn't matter what your past was. It doesn't matter what you've done. And I'll tell you this, I know how Satan works. Satan works to try to bring those things, no matter how many years it's been past. He tries to bring those things back to you and to try to bring condemnation and make you feel bad and make you feel like that you're not really worthy and you're just putting on a front in front of everybody. But that's not true. There's been a life-changing event that's happened. You're not that person anymore. Peter was, when the angel was sent to him, Peter wasn't that man that he had been. Remember, Jesus said to him, he said, Peter, you're not converted yet, but when you are, strengthen the brethren. So Peter had to get converted. Peter had to have a life-changing event. And when he did, then that old Peter was cut off. That was no longer, look, that thing doesn't come before God anymore. Get that out of your mind. God's not looking at that. That's been covered and washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's put in the sea of God's forgetfulness. God doesn't even see that old life. Hallelujah. Angel could introduce a son. Angel could only introduce a life bearer. But it took somebody who was bearing the life to impart that life to others. Now, one day many of you realized there was something that moved in your heart for the first time. Maybe you heard a tape, read a book, and you don't realize there was an angel standing near you that was moving on you. And just like I'd said that angel arrived 30 minutes before Eliezer, there was an angel that arrived and was preparing you for what you were going to hear or what you were going to read. And he brought a supernatural moving within your heart to accept that message. Spoken words, original seed again, Brother Bram says, now listen, the same thing took place in Acts 10:48. Peter was on a housetop. An angel directed him to Cornelius' house. But where did the word come from? The body. Now, the New Testament by King James wasn't even wrote. The New Testament wasn't even wrote till after 60 AD. It wasn't wrote till even after the death of Paul. So Peter didn't have this, even the four Gospels. Peter didn't have that to look at, to minister to those people and bring life to them. And the Bible says he was an ignorant and unlearned man. But they took notice he had been with Jesus. Peter didn't have no photographic memory or photostatic memory where he could remember everything that Jesus said. But what was it? It was because the life was in him. And he was manifesting that life. Because friends, it's the Spirit that bringeth life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, sharing the gospel isn't you trying to correct people in their doctrine. Amen. That's not sharing the gospel. God didn't call us to share the gospel to go around and debate doctrine. I believe that the same Holy Ghost that opens up his word to us opens it up to every other member of the body, every church, every body of believers. And I believe this, if there is a body of believers, you would look at it and you'd say, well, they don't exactly see it or teach it the way we do. If they are part of the body, they will. They will come to it. But they can't come to it any quicker than the ministry that they're setting under. Brother Bram says, an angel directed him to Cornelius' house. But where did the word come from? The body. Oh, I feel pretty good. I feel like traveling on. An angel come and said, don't worry. Don't call nothing unclean, just go on and don't think nothing. And while Peter spake these words, not the angel, not the cardinal, while Peter spake these words, they received the Holy Ghost. He was the body. He had the word. The word took hold. Oh, brother. Oh, my. An angel directed it, but the life come through the body of Christ. Now, when did you receive the new birth? I can tell you when many of you did. When you came, sat under a ministry that had a new birth. And it wasn't you coming to the altar, but you received it right there in the pew where you were sitting when the word was quickened to you. And it came to life. Now, somebody might have witnessed to you and brought you to this. And you may have looked at it and knew it was the truth. But if that individual didn't have an imparting of life within them, they couldn't bring it within you. But if they did, then they could have brought that imparting of life to you, and then, but still, God's going to take you and set you under an ordained minister in order that you would grow in the Lord. Acts chapter 12, if you want to read this with me. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said, "Gird thyself and bind thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter was thinking, maybe this wasn't real, maybe I'm just dreaming. When they passed the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. There many were gathered together praying, and Peter knocked at the gate. A damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. Now, she looked through the little access they had and saw that it was Peter. She went back in and told those that were praying, "Peter is at the gate." And they didn't believe her. Here they had been praying for it, and their prayer had brought an angel of heaven down. And that angel had done things that to us would seem impossible. A gate open of its own accord, chains falling off of their own accord, leading him past and through the wards and the guards and not even seeing him. Their prayers brought that to pass. Friends, look, your prayers move heaven. And I want you to know this, God would move heaven and earth for you. That's right. Sometimes the answer to our prayer is knocking on the door. And we may be asking God, Lord, I need to know your will for this. And really all we need to do is just go open the door. What I mean by that is sometimes, just like them, they didn't recognize when they saw it. They said, it must be his ghost. That's what they said. Oh my, he must have died. It must be Peter's ghost. So even when they were looking at a miracle, it was hard for them to believe that miracle. And that's how it is with us sometimes. God will bring the answer to our prayer, but we don't see all the movings of it, and we don't realize that God's actually bringing the answer to our prayer about. Sometimes when we pray for something, it seems like that you'll look and it'll seem like maybe that a situation will get worse or go on longer. But God's in control of it, friends. He's moving to answer your prayer. And just like Daniel, when he prayed 21 days for an angel, if your answer isn't coming, keep praying. Keep asking God. But then when it comes, many times it's been long in the works of being answered before we even realize, oh, that was him answering my prayer. Sometimes we want God to just help us to hurry up and escape it. But God wants it to end in a certain way. God doesn't want to just get you out of the fire right away, but God wants to show that you're innocent. You're not guilty. Not that you just got off through some technicality. When we were dealing with some situations in the court, I'll tell you, when I prayed about it, I wanted it just to come to an end. You know, it was tearing me up. I was already fighting depression really bad, and this was just making it all the more worse on me. And I was, and fear would come and try to grip you. And it wasn't because of any fear of for myself, but it was for my family. And I thought, I don't care who believes what. I just want us, my family, to be free from this. But God seemed better than that. God didn't just want us to be delivered and be free from it. God wanted there to be a stamp put on it that there was innocence. He wanted the truth to come out. I thank God for that. Sometimes we don't recognize a miracle. That's okay. It don't change the fact that it's a miracle. God works miracles, friends. And sometimes we think a miracle is something that happens instantaneously. But I'll tell you this, it may take a year, but it's still a miracle how God does it. I've been a witness to it this past year. Hallelujah. Now, Acts 27, if we could turn there just a moment. Acts 27, verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul saying, I'm his, I serve him, therefore I'm a candidate for fellowship with the supernatural. Don't remember this. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:2, it says to be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Don't forget that. But now the statement I made, that Brother Branham says here in Revelation's book of symbols, he said, angelic beings associate together. I hope you get that. That just dropped right down free. Look, and if you, now listen to this. If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, then you are a candidate for association with the unseen world and the supernatural. See, I'll just get to that thought in a minute before I close. Let me finish this here. You're a candidate for association with the unseen world and the supernatural. No wonder people can't believe in those things. They've never come into contact. They got nothing in here to believe with. But when the Holy Spirit comes into the heart, quickly, he becomes then a twofold being, one of the earth to die and one of heaven to live. In his body, he's still subject to death, but in his soul, he's passed from death unto life. In his body, he has earthly contact with his five senses. In his spirit, he has contact with God through the Holy Ghost. And the angel of, hold on. And the angel of God visits them and speaks with them. They are messengers sent from God to reveal and to bring messages from God to the individual. The angel told Daniel, you are beloved before God. And now Daniel couldn't talk perhaps face to face with God, but God sent an angel as an intermediate between him and God, that he would talk between them and bring the angel. The very word angel means a messenger. So bring Daniel the message. Your pastor, when he stands here in the platform ministering the word of God, he's God's angel to the church, messenger to the church. I want you to know this. I think I said maybe even this earlier. God still sends angels with his men. Here in At Thy Word, Brother Bram says, I believe that even the Holy Spirit and angels and all are just attributes of God. It's a part of God. It's his makeup. It's part of it that went off his spirit and so forth. He created to be his helpers around him in his great office of glory. And I believe they're just like secretaries and so forth to help carry on the master's work. And they come to the earth for us earthly people. Just because you may have never seen an angel doesn't mean there hasn't been angels around you. Doesn't mean that you haven't been touched by an angel, inspired by an angel, uplifted by an angel. When you were in the world, living like the world, Satan sent you demons. Maybe perhaps you had a temper and your temper was to a certain level, but then Satan could send a demon of temper and it would come and it would elevate that temper. Maybe when you were in the world, you dealt with jealousy, but your jealousy was just to a certain point. But Satan could send a demon of jealousy that would lift that jealousy beyond what it was normally. So if Satan can send demons to do that, what can God do with his angels? It's still supernatural intervention. When Satan sent the demons, it was still supernatural intervention was working on you. When God sends his angels, it's supernatural intervention. When you become saved, maybe your faith could only go to a certain level. But then God sent an angel and you felt something different and your faith grew to a higher level. What was it? It was an angel of faith God sent. You may never have seen them. You may not even know that they've been there. The only thing you maybe are praying, sitting with your head maybe in your hands and saying, God, I'm so down, I'm so weary, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. And then there would be a feeling or something move over you, and it would change how you were feeling. And a peace would begin to settle down where there had been a nervousness, a fear, a wondering, and all of a sudden, peace settles down over you. And you can't explain it. But you just know all's well. It's going to be fine. If God would open your eyes, you would see that he had sent an angel there for you. And that's why it happened. In resurrection of Jairus' daughter, Brother M says, and they followed me over to a meeting in Chicago and stood and testified and said, what happened, Brother Branham? I said, why? I said, now he's talking about these, I mentioned, I think maybe the last time that I ministered, about those two women that were healed, the angel going through the neighborhood, and that they were waiting for their healing. Well, here he's speaking about it in another place. And he's saying they followed him and came and testified and asked him what happened. And he said, do you not know that sometimes when you pray, the angels can't get to you at that time? Daniel prayed one time 21 days before the angel could get to him. Is that right? But when God had spoken anything, it has to come to pass. What was it? The angel knowed those people, knowed what God had pronounced, and he was going through the neighborhood right then, hunting them women up, performing what he said would come to pass. What if they had disbelieved? What if they had lost faith? See? Believe no matter what comes or goes, believe anyhow. Now, if I tell the truth, God will testify the truth. God will never testify of an error. It always testifies of the truth. Amen. If you come to instruments. As Brother Nate prepares to come, I'd like, Brother Jimmy, I'd like to sing that song, Surely the Presence of the Lord's in This Place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can feel the touch of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Stand. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can feel the touch of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord. Each face.
the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the touch of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the touch of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains to climb and the valleys to wind. Down on my knees, that's where I my hand.
Jesus Mysticus. Time will have the brother Jesus Mysticus.